Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Okay, well, I did it. I got tired of fixing my computer and tearing it apart and reseating cards and memory and dealing with the Windows operating system. Some of you know I have Apple everything except my actual computer. Well, I made the switch. I love it. So thanks to Brother Wozniak. Anyway, a bit of learning curve, as with anything. But overall, I think it's a great switch. It's been a crazy few weeks with the RNC and the DNC, and politics is of course not allowed in the lodge. Thank goodness we've been dark, because that's all we'd want to talk about. Sometimes folks ask, why no politics in lodge? I mean, so many political leaders and presidents have been Masons. But the fact is that that may be true. We believe that no two things separate men like religion and politics. So we ban politics. Occasionally, there may be a joke or some small talk, however, it never goes further than that. I've been at dinner more than a few occasions when the master has silenced the talk and made a change of subject happen. It might seem rude, but we all know and we're good with that. So let's take a moment and mention our Whence Came You Android and Apple apps, which let you stream the show rather than syncing on your mobile devices. You also get bonus features with those apps. Another great way to listen is via the Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a free way to listen, and it's streaming, just like the apps are. The only difference is you register. And when you register, use the promo code WhenceCameYou with no spaces, and they send us a dollar to keep the lights on. So check those out. The first piece I wanted to share with you is one I found while doing some research on the traditions of Freemasonry. So I'd like to present a paper called Color Symbolism in Freemasonry by Brother Leon Zeldis. Brother Leon Zeldis is the editor of the Israel Freemason, and this is a part of a paper that printed in 1992 of their Coronatum Transactions. Color is a fundamental element of Masonic symbolism. It appears in the descriptions of aprons, sashes, and other items of regalia in the furnishings and wall hangings of the lodge room for each degree or ceremony, in the robes worn in certain degrees, and in many other Masonic accoutrements. The colors specified in each case appear to have no rational justification, as in A.E. Waite once wrote, "There is no recognized scheme or science of colors in Masonry. Here and there in our rituals we find an explanation for the use of a certain color, but this usually turns out to be merely a peg on which to hang a homiletic lecture about it, having little, if any, connection with the origins of its use." This paper seeks to find some rationale behind the selection of colors and Masonic symbols, restricting our examination to the craft degrees and those of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, with occasional reference to the Royal Arch. It was early recognized that colors have a strong influence on the mind, and therefore can be employed for certain moral and aesthetic ends. Though through symbolical, allegorical, and mystical allusions, Newton wrote the sensual and moral effects of color, where sensual must be understood as transmitted by the senses. Goethe, too, wrote extensively on color, over 2,000 pages. Masonic blue. Blue, then, is the craft color par excellence used in aprons, collars, and elsewhere. Let us quote Brother Chetwood Crawley. "The ordinary prosaic inquirer will see in the selection of blue as the distinctive color of Freemasonry only the natural sequence of the legend of King Solomon's temple. For the Jews had been divinely commanded to wear a riband of blue," Numbers 15:38. A modern translation of that verse in Numbers is, "You are to take tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel." The biblical text then refers to blue cords to be incorporated in tassels worn by pious Jews, while Brother Chetwood Crawley is speaking of blue ribbons, which somehow became the embellishments of aprons, sashes, and collars. Another suggested source of the color mentioned by Brother Chetwood Crawley could be its association with Saint Mary, Mother of Jesus, so prominent a figure in the pre-Reformation invocations of the old churches, drawing in her train, the red ensign of St. George, the Cappadocia, her steward, and our patron saint. Blue and red, the heraldic azure and gules of sometimes associated with the chevron and arms of the Masons Company. The Masonic symbolism of colors. White. The original color of the Masonic apron was always considered an emblem of purity and innocence, exemplified in images such as the white lily or fallen snow. Plato asserts that the white is par excellence the color of the gods. In the Bible, Daniel sees God as a very old man dressed in robes white as snow. Daniel 7:9. In the New Testament, Jesus is transfigured on Mount Tabor before Peter, James, and John when in his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Mark 9:3. Officiating priests of many religions wore and still wear white garments. In ancient Jerusalem, both the priests and the Levites who performed the temple rites assumed white clothing. Among Romans, the unblemished character of a person aspiring to public office was indicated by a toga whitened with chalk. This is the origin of the word candidate, from candidatus, dressed in white. Verdicts at trials were decided by small stones, calculi thrown into an urn, white to absolve, black to condemn. White signifies beginnings, virtualities, the white page facing the writer, the space where the possible may become reality. White is therefore understandably the color of initiation. It is a symbol of perfection as represented by the swan in the legend of Lohengrin. In this aspect, it is related to light or sky blue, which in Hebrew is chlet, and may be connected semantically with tichla, or perfection or completeness, and taklit, completeness or purpose. Among the Celts, the sacred colors of white, blue, and green were understood to stand for light, truth, and hope. Druids were robed in white. White is also connected with the idea of death and resurrection. Shrouds are white. Spirits are represented as wearing white veils. White, rather than black, is sometimes the color of mourning among the ancient kings of France, for instance, and in Japan. White, finally, can signify joy. Leukos, or Greek, means both white and cheerful, as does Candidus in Latin. The Romans marked festive days with lime and unlucky days with charcoal. Blue. Blue is the color of the canopy of heaven. Azure, cerulean, or sky blue. Universally, it denotes immortality, eternity, chastity, fidelity. Pale blue, in particular, represents prudence and goodness. In the Royal Arch, the third principle is told that it is an emblem of beneficence and charity. In biblical times, blue was closely related to purple. Generations of scholars have puzzled over the correct meaning of chlet, or light blue, and argaman, purple, usually mentioned together without reaching satisfactory conclusions. Only recently has the problem been finally solved in the course of far-reaching research into the dyestuffs and dyeing methods used by ancient Phoenicians and Hebrews. Both colors, it turns out, were produced with dyeing materials extracted from murex, a shellfish abundant on the coast of Lebanon. The chechlet was obtained from a short variety. The argaman came from two kinds, the single-spined murex, and the lesser extent, redmouth. Some historians have concluded that in the Middle Ages, in Europe, blue was low in popular esteem. The favorite color was then red because the dyers could achieve strong shades of it, which brought to mind the prestigious purple of the ancient world. Towards the end of that period, blue gradually became recognized as the princely color, the royal blue, which displaced red at court. Red then being used by the lower classes and so regarded as vulgar. Blue and gold, or yellow, then became the colors of choice for shields, banners, and livery. It may be noted, it may not be by chance, therefore, that the master was said to be clothed in a yellow jacket and blue breeches. In the famous metaphor first used in an exposure, The Mystery of Freemasonry, which appeared in the Daily Journal in 1730, the traditional explanations of the phrase related to the compasses, the arms of gold, glitter, brass, and the points of a steel or iron. Steel can certainly appear blue, iron not. Blue was used royally in France noticeably as the background to the fleur-de-lis. It became associated with the terms of prestige such as blue blood, cordon bleu, originally the sash of the Order of the Holy Spirit, blue riband, and the Atlantic and blue chip. Purple. Purple is a symbol of imperial royalty and richness, but can also relate to penitence and the solemnity of Lent, and Advent of the seasons of the Christian Church. Although described in the Royal Arch, for instance, as an emblem of union being composed of blue and crimson, I believe this to be somewhat contrived explanation. But an intersecting fact which appears to have escaped most writers on this subject is that the Kabbalah, the Hebrew word for purple, argaman, is a mnemonic representing the initials of the names of five principal angels in the Jewish esotericism. Red. Red or crimson, the color of fire and heat, is traditionally associated with war and the military. In Rome, the palaedamentum, the robe worn by generals, was red. The color of blood is naturally connected with the idea of a sacrifice, struggle, and heroism. It also signifies charity, devotion, abnegation, perhaps recalling the pelican that feeds its progeny with its own blood. In Hebrew, the name of the first man, Adam, is akin to red, blood, and earth. The connection with earth may explain perhaps the connection of red with its passions, the carnal love, the cosmetics used by women to attract their lovers. It is the color of youth. Generally, it represents expansive force and vitality. It is the emblem of faith and fortitude and the royal arch, of fervency and zeal. It is also a darker side, connected with the flames of hell, the appearance of demons, an apocalyptic face of rage. Scarlet was the distinctive color of the Order of the Golden Fleece, established in 1429 by Philip the Good, Duke of Burgundy, 1419-1467. Not only was the mantle scarlet, but also the robe, and a special hat, the chaperone, with hanging streamers. Green. Green has been directly associated with the ideas of resurrection and immortality. The acacia, the Masonic evergreen, has been suggested as a symbol of moral life or rebirth, and also of immortality. To the ancient Egyptians, green was the symbol of hope. The Grand Lodge of Scotland has adopted green as its emblematic color, and in varying shades, it is incorporated into the dress and furnishings of degrees and orders beyond the craft in English, Irish, and Scottish Freemasonry. Yellow. Yellow is rarely seen in Lodge, except perhaps on the continent. It is an ambivalent color, representing both the best and the worst. The color of brass and honey, but also the color of sulfur and cowardice. Yellow is the perfection of the Golden Age, the priceless quality of the Golden Fleece and the golden apples of the Hesperides. It is also the color of the patch imposed on the Jews as a badge of infamy. In the 16th century, the doors of a traitor's home was painted yellow. A jaundiced view expressed hostility. But the most memorable symbolism of yellow is that it reminds us of the sun and of gold. Black. The three fundamental colors found in all civilizations down to the Middle Ages of Europe are white, red, and black. These two may be regarded as the principal colors of Freemasonry, the white of the craft degrees, the red of the royal arch, and of certain of the degrees of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, and the black of some of its others, and the Knights of Malta. The other colors of the rainbow find limited uses. They serve only to frame or line the white lambskin upon which so many aprons are based, or for sashes and other items of regalia. Traditionally, black is the color of darkness, death, the underworld, although it was not introduced for mourning until about the middle of the 14th century, such use becoming habitual only in the 16th. The black humor of melancholy, the black crow of ill omen, the black mass, black market, black days all refer to negative aspects. The black stone at Mecca is believed by Muslims to have been at one time white. The sins of man caused the transformation. Black has also a positive aspect, that of gravity and sobriety. The Reformation in Europe frowned upon colorful clothing. Formal dress for day and evening wear continues to be black. It is associated with the outlaw and the banners of pirates and anarchists, but also with rebirth and transformation. In the French and Scottish rites, the lodge in the third degree is decorated in black and is strewn with white or silver tares representing the sorrow caused by the death of Hiram. In conclusion, a review of the traditional explanations for the choice of certain colors in Masonic symbolism reveals their weakness. In considering the use of blue in the English regalia of a master mason, it has been possible to find a connection between one of the Hebrew words for that color and the Holy Bible. This week's famous Freemason is John Boyd Dunlop, born February 5, 1840, and died October 23, 1921. He was a Scottish inventor. He was one of the founders of the rubber company that bore his name, Dunlop Pneumatic Tire Company. He was born on a farm in Dreghorn, North Ayrshire, and studied to be a veterinary surgeon at the Dick Vet University of Edinburgh, a profession he pursued for nearly 10 years at home, moving to Downpatrick, Ireland, in 1867. He established Down Veterinary Clinic in Downpatrick with his brother, James Dunlop, before moving to a practice in 3842 May Street in Belfast. He was a good friend of Queen Victoria. In 1887, he developed the first practical pneumatic or inflatable tire for his son's tricycle, tested in Cherryvale Sports Ground, South Belfast and patented it on the 7th of December 1888. Willie Hearn demonstrated the supremacy of Dunlop's newly invented pneumatic tires in 1889, winning the tires' first ever races in Ireland and then England. The captain of Belfast Cruiser Cycling Club, he became the first member of the public to purchase a bicycle fitted with pneumatic tires, so Dunlop suggested he should use them in a race. On the 18th of May 1889, Hume won all four cycling events at the Queen's College Sports in Belfast, and a short while later in Liverpool, won all but one of the cycling events. 2 years after he was granted the patent, Dunlop was officially informed that it was invalid, as Scottish inventor Robert William Thompson, 1822-1873, had patented the idea in France in 1846 and in the U.S. in 1847. Dunlop's patent was later declared invalid on the basis of Thompson's prior art. Dunlop's development of the pneumatic tire arrived at a crucial time in the development of road transportation. Commercial production began in late 1890 in Belfast. Dunlop assigned his patent to William Harvey Ducrow in return for 1,500 shares in the resultant company, and in the end did not make any great fortune by his invention. Dunlop died in Dublin and is buried in Dean's Grange Cemetery. It was during his time at Belfast that John Boyd Dunlop joined Freemasonry. He was initiated into the Lodge of Harmony No. 111 in Belfast, Ireland. So that's where Dunlop tires come from. That's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. Also, any other social media you're into, we're on it. Simply visit the website, wcypodcast.com, to find links to all of them, including the links to the apps which let you listen streaming from anywhere. Also, make sure you're checking out the Midnight Freemasons website. There is incredible content there, usually daily. So until next week, for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.